This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Custom harvesters from throughout the country will be at Grand Island, Nebraska next week for their annual convention. U.S. Custom Harvesters, Inc. President Kent Brathen says this meeting is an opportunity to gear up for another harvest season.
It's an excellent opportunity to really network with other harvesters and to share ideas. And everybody's got a different way of doing things, and it's always fun to learn what other people are doing and kind of share ideas.
U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated is an association of professional harvesters. Brathen is pleased to promote this unique industry.
Our membership has really increased. Since 2007, we've almost doubled our membership, so that's been good for us. And we're starting to get membership from all over the country. I think we're probably in about 38 different states now with members, so we're seeing a little more growth in both the combine and the forage harvesting side of it.
The convention is looking to cover a variety of regulatory issues. Brathen says labor is the biggest challenge.
Finding and retaining employees is very difficult for our industry, and a lot of us rely on the H-2A program since it's difficult to find employees that are willing to stay through the entire harvest run, which usually runs about 7 months. So we try to keep on top of the regulations, what might be coming down the pipeline in Washington, D.C.,
The U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated Convention begins Tuesday and continues through Thursday. In addition to the huge trade show, combine clinics are scheduled with Case IH, Gleaner, John Deere, and more. Milk prices at the farm level are expected to be about $6 a hundredweight lower than the record prices in 2014. University of Missouri Extension ag economist Joe Horner says that drop goes back to the three-year cycle. When producers see that kind of profitability, they tend to expand both the number of cows and milk production per cow. Horner says U.S. milk production is growing 3.4%. Because of the higher supply, prices in the grocery store are coming down. While farm gate milk prices will be lower in 2015, Horner says slaughter cow numbers will be a bright spot for the dairy producers. Hamburger prices have been fantastic this year, and cull cows are bringing record prices. He says that will put the national herd down and correct the supply situation. Historically, calf health has been considered relatively equal for large groups of calves getting off the truck. Today, producers recognize that each animal has individual health and productivity potential. That's according to Rick Sybil, head veterinarian at Merck Animal Health, who says technology is allowing cattlemen to better pinpoint the health of individual animals.
When you superimpose the extraordinary value of these animals that we're seeing today, suddenly we're in a new sort of era. We have to ask the question and have the tools to answer the question, is that calf coming off the truck? Does it have a healthy set of lungs? Does it have a healthy digestive system? Does it have good feed under it? Should it get antibiotics or should it not?
The key is understanding each individual animal and targeting health programs accordingly.
There are high achievers and there are low achievers, and there is more and more technology now that's become available to begin to assess, can that animal compete with its contemporaries? Is it a low achiever? Should it be pulled from the group and should it be handled differently?
Innovative technology is bringing more and more options to the table, Sybil says.
We use ultrasound for reproduction assessment. We're now developing tools, ultrasound, that can take an 8-second window of the heart rate, of the lung performance, and the physiology therein. And it can sort of assess whether or not that animal is productive at that moment off the truck. That cost is being developed. For $8 to $10, we're going to be able to say that animal has lung disease and should be pulled out, or that animal has got a completely healthy lung and it can be put into the system.
Merck Animal Health's Dr. Rick Sybil. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. The final 2014 crop production numbers delivered by USDA in the January reports leave three issues unresolved. Todd Gleason reports from the University of Illinois.
The three problems, as identified by University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, center on the number of corn and soybean acres planted, the surprisingly small amount of corn used in the first 3 months of the marketing year, and the surprisingly large number of soybeans consumed in that same time frame. The difference between the total number of planted acres USDA NASS has reported over time and those officially reported by farmers to FSA, and that's USDA's Farm Service Agency, well, that's grown. The number of acres planted to wheat, corn, and soybeans, as tallied by USDA NAS, has steadily grown larger than the number of acres farmers are telling FSA they've sown. USDA has not offered an explanation. The difference in 2014 is nearly 9.3 million acres over the three crops, says Daryl Good.
The implication is that early FSA reports of planted acres probably will not be as useful in the future in predicting the final NAS estimate of planted acres. That has been a very useful forecast in the past, but this larger and varying difference between the two data sources mean that we probably will not be able to use the FSA data as efficiently as we have in the past.
The second issue is related to how much corn was used in the months of September, October, and November. Those are the first 3 months of the marketing year. USDA totals 4.25 billion bushels of disappearance, of which feed and residual use accounted for 2.198 billion. This number is 114 million bushels lower than the usage in the same period last year after it was revised down in this last report. Now, the problem, says the U of I number cruncher, is that over time, the range of usage represented in the first quarter figure as compared to total usage for the year, well, it's gotten wider.
The issue here is that first quarter use has not become a reliable forecaster of total marketing year consumption. So we will see a lot of uncertainty, I think, persist about how much corn is being fed for the next several months.
The numbers do get better as time passes during the marketing year. The expectation is the March 31 grain stocks report will be more accurate. But the third issue with the January USDA figures is also in the consumption numbers. The implied residual disappearance of soybeans in the first quarter set a record. This might mean the size of the 2014 soybean crop was overestimated.
We know that the soybean crop estimate gets revised with the September stocks report following harvest in most years. The problem is that first quarter disappearance is really not a good forecaster of either the direction or magnitude of that change. So while it is an issue, it will not be resolved for several months, with some insight perhaps coming from the March stocks report.
Time will eventually fix all three issues, but it is important to recognize them and the potential changes these may bring to the commodity markets. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hamilton's hay auction will take place this Saturday. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for a preview of the auction.
Well, Angela, so far this week we've got several round bales of mixed hay in. We've got some straw and round bales. And we've got about six tractor-trailer loads of 3x3s, some of it's real good alfalfa. There's some beef cow hay, and then we've got a load of real nice grass hay. It's coming out of the center of Kansas. It appears sometime this morning. So got a lot of big hay coming in, and I'm expecting somewhere 2,000 to 2,500 small squares.
All right, very good. Well, hopefully the weather cooperates this weekend, and you can have another nice auction.
Yeah, the way it sounds, the rain is supposed to hold off hopefully till Sunday, so everything's looking good. And we had rock hauled into the lot this week, and it's in good shape, so we're ready for another big sale.
All right, and if anyone has any questions about this sale, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach me anytime at 618-410-4293. And I would like to mention that we'll be receiving hay all day on Fridays. Charlie Naylor's there to run the loader, and we're there till dark on Fridays and up until 10:30 on Saturday mornings.
Again, that was Mike Hamilton with Hamilton's Hay Auction. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.